thing to be invited into the kingdom of God. It's another thing then to then walk out a culture that is reflective of the kingdom of God, right? And when the church was first established, that was the challenge of the early church, to walk out a life reflective of the kingdom of God. And so where do we go? What do we look to? Who do we look to really gauge, like, how is it? What is it supposed to look like for us to live a life reflective of the kingdom of God? Well, I think a good place to start would be where the early church started, which is in Acts. So if you want to go to the book of Acts, we're going to start in chapter 1. We're going to start in chapter 1. And before we get into the kingdom culture, I just want to take a minute and define what culture is. And it's a long definition, and I don't expect anyone to remember it. But here's something that I just want you to think about. Because immediately when I say the word culture, some of you may be in the room are going, oh yeah, culture. We need to talk about the culture. It is, you know, it is just falling off. That culture, like, that is bad. Like, we can't be a part of the culture. Like, all those people in the culture, you know. We talk like that in the church sometimes. But culture includes the beliefs, the social forms, the attitudes, the values, the goals, the practices that characterize a society. And here's the reality. I'm just going to give you a little bit of insight here. You're a part of the culture. Like, church, we're a part of the culture. The reality is that there are a lot of subcultures in our society that are very different. There is church culture. There is such a thing as that. There's ethnic cultures. There's all different kinds. There's Southern culture. I was a part of Southern culture for a little while, and it was, I learned lingo, like, bless your heart. It isn't necessarily a good thing. You know, that's a part of culture. But I also want you to take a minute and think about, what are the things that define, what are the things that mark culture in our society? And I thought about this for a little bit, and I think that there are probably more than this, but there are three things that I think are pretty significant in defining or trending culture in a certain direction. And those are events. Think about how events have impacted our culture throughout history. Like, if I were to talk about certain events just in recent history, you know, in the last 60 years, assassination of JFK, a man walking on the moon, the crash in the Twin Towers, the terrorist attack of the Twin Towers, different pandemics and plagues throughout history. Has that impacted us? Absolutely. People who have come and gone throughout history, who are in our timeline of history, that it has shifted our culture. If I were just to mark the last five presidents of the United States, you would probably go on a roller coaster of feelings of how they have impacted our culture, both good and bad, right? The reality is that there are lots of factors that define a culture. But for us, as people who are a part of the kingdom of God, we have the challenge to walk out a different kind of culture, a kingdom culture that may run countercultural to the one that we live in. And we're going to look, again, as I said, in Acts chapter 1. But I want you to be thinking about this. I want you to think about, regardless of the different events, the different people, the different leaders, for us in the kingdom culture, the thing that is important for us to understand is that kingdom culture is about walking in step with the king. It's about walking in step with the king. And we're going to see why that is so important. Because for us as kingdom followers, as kingdom dwellers, what we tend to do is maybe lag behind or run ahead. Like, I am really good at that. Like, when the king moves, I usually am either lagging behind or I'm like, oh yeah, I'm already ahead of you. Already ahead of you. I'm way out I'm in the movement here. Let's go. But that's not what it's about. It's about responding to the king's movement, walking in step with him. And we're going to define who the king is here in a second. But I just need you to grab hold of that idea, that kingdom culture isn't about what we define. It's about how the king moves. It's about where he goes. And that runs countercultural to our culture that we're in, because what we just looked at, we saw how events, people, and leaders define, all those things define our culture that we're in. Because we're the ones who define where our culture goes. That's what society tells us right now. Like, you define where you go. You define you, right? You do you. But in kingdom culture, it's about following the king. It's about walking in step with him. And we'll see why that's really important. Now, when I say we're going to be looking at the book of Acts, chapter 1, to define kingdom culture, maybe some of the first, like the first verse that pops into your head that you think we're going to like center on this whole time, and it's an important one, is what? Acts chapter 1, verse, anyone know? 8, right? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Like, we look at that and we go, yes. Like, let's be about this verse, but you'll receive power. Yeah, kingdom culture power. We're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And we get stoked about that, thinking that, like, this is what it's all about. Like, we are going to take the power of God, now that he has given us this power, and we're going to go everywhere, and we're going to claim what is ours. Is that what that verse is saying? Is that what this culture is all about? Is about just, you know, taking ground for the kingdom? Yes and no. Here's what I want us to think about. If we're going to be a part of the kingdom culture, we need to understand who we are and what our role is as we take this kingdom culture forward. Now, remember I said we're all a part of the culture? Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." That should clue you in immediately to think that, hey, even though we are about bringing the kingdom of God, the culture of God's kingdom here on earth, we need to understand that we're doing that in a culture that we're being asked not to be conformed to. Like, we're walking into a culture where we are asked to be countercultural. Which also should make us think that, oh, that means we're going to think and act and do things that maybe are a little bit contrary to the culture that is accepted by general society. In Acts chapter 7, verses 6 and 7, the disciples are talking and they are reminded about what God called us. Do you remember the song? There's a part in I Thank God, the song that we sang earlier this morning, where we say that we're a vagabond. Well, God called us something similar. In Acts chapter 7, verses 6 through 7, it says, "And God spoke to this effect, that his offspring would be sojourners in a land belonging to others, who would enslave them and afflict them for 400 years. But then he says, but I will judge the nation that they serve, and after that they shall come out and worship me in this place." Meaning that the kingdom culture, while it's alive and well and moving in our culture today, we're seen as people with a different mindset, in a place that is not our own, that is different from the way that everyone else lives, because everyone else is living like this is it. Like this is the end. Like this is the end goal. Like work and build up your estate to a point where, you know, you can pass it on to others, like, because this is all that there is. And they live like that. But in God's kingdom, we're living as sojourners. We're living as if this isn't our own home. And that is a concept that we have to be thinking about as we're contemplating what it means to live with a kingdom mindset. All right, I said we're going to get to Acts. Let's do that. Verse 3. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 says, "He presented himself," Jesus is who they're talking about here, "He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God." There's two things that I want to grab out of this one verse. The first is that when the disciples were interacting with Jesus, he presented himself alive. Not a vision, not an image. This isn't a virtual reality call. Like, this is the actual person, Jesus Christ. And we know that because it says that he presented himself by many proofs. Like, they saw the holes in his hands and feet. They saw the pierced side. They saw that he was eating and it wasn't just like falling through like a ghost cloud. You know, like, this wasn't ghost Jesus. This was real Jesus. They knew that this was the real deal. They knew that they could put their trust in this person because he had done what he had set out to do, which was to go to the cross, die, and then resurrect from the grave. And it wasn't just a few people. It was a community of people that he presented himself to over the course of 40 days. And here is what he did when he actually got them together. He talked about what? The kingdom of God. In my mind, what he's doing is he's rehashing the Sermon on the Mount. He's going, okay, I'm back. Great. Let's celebrate. But hold on. Now the kingdom of God is at hand. And you're going to be a part of it. And what that means is, you remember that story that I said where we were talking about blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the, you know, you fill in the blank of what Matthew says. And he's going through that with them and he's saying, this is how you are to live. And the rest of this series is we're doing a snapshot of how the early church lived out their faith. How they lived lives reflective of the gospel. But it was defined by Jesus, the King. Now, there were significant events, and there were significant people that were in the midst of this, but Maggie referenced earlier this morning that there's a moment that we're being called into. And that's what the disciples are being called into. And you could just imagine their excitement starting to fill the room. And it says in verse 4, it says, while staying with them, Jesus staying with them, he ordered them not to depart Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Why is this significant? Because remember, the kingdom culture is about walking in step with the King. Not running ahead, not lagging behind, but waiting on His move. Waiting on His movement. And that's what He tells them to do. Even though they're probably super excited, He says, there's a gift that I have for you. You haven't received it yet. You're about to. And that's what Justin's going to talk about next week. It's coming. But there's a time of preparation. And it says that when they came back together in verse 6, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, I started thinking about this verse, and I was thinking about how it applies to us. And I still think the reason why Jesus was saying, hey, it's really important that you hang back. Don't just go out and start, you know, taken over for the kingdom of God just yet. You need to be filled with His Spirit. Because what they wanted to do was do what? Bring the kingdom, have the kingdom be restored to Israel, to one people. And I started thinking, you know, what are the things that we are passionate about? We're in a, like, if you go driving down the street, there are flags everywhere, right? There's American flags, there's Patriot flags, there's Red Sox flags, there's Pride flags, there's Black Lives Matter flags, there's police flags, there's, you know, how many different flags are there? And what Jesus is saying is, it's not about the movement that you are concerned with. It's about the kingdom of God. How do I know that that's where we're moving and where this kingdom is moving? Because look what he says in verse 7. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. You're not the ones who are going to define the movement of this culture. The one who is defining the culture is God the Father. And my will is to do the will of him who sent me. That's what Jesus was all about. That's what he was doing the whole time of his ministry. And then he says, here's the verse that everybody loves and is like, yeah, this is what we're passionate about and what we're going to do. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When you've received the gift that who's given you? I've given you. That Jesus has given you. And you will be the witness to the thing that you're passionate about? Nope. You're going to be witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be witnesses to the King and what I've called you to be about, which is to love God and to love your neighbor. And you're going to do that in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, this isn't about just restoring a kingdom to one nation, to Israel. This is about taking the kingdom of God to all people. It is going to start right here, and it's going to explode. They're thinking like this, and Jesus is going, let me open up your eyes. Because when you follow and you walk in step with the King, your mind is blown. And he can do so much more with obedience to the King as opposed to self-definition. Because what we try and do is we self-define what the kingdom of God looks like, and we lose the big picture of what he has for us. He's inviting us to be witnesses. Witnesses of what? In Acts chapter 10, verse 40, it says, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. This is what they were called to be a witness to. They had seen Jesus. They had been with Jesus. They had eaten with Jesus. They saw the miracles. They saw his compassion. They saw his justice. They saw his love and compassion, and they saw his anger. They were witnesses of who Jesus was and what he did on the cross and what he did when he rose from the grave. And they said, oh, this is all revolving around him, not revolving around us. So who or what defines the culture? Who or what defines the culture? We've already said, in general culture, events, experiences, people, they define the culture. But in kingdom culture, it's not these things. Now, after Jesus gives them this command to be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, he's taken up. Taken up in a cloud, and he leaves them. And they are standing and staring up into heaven going, what just happened? He just dropped this bomb on us and said, like, we were thinking, like, we're going to take over Israel. And now he's saying, no, 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 this is much bigger. You're going to take the world for my kingdom. But it has to be defined by who I am and what I've called you to do. And they're standing and staring, and an angel all of a sudden appears and says, hey, guys, why are you standing and staring at heaven? The same way that he went up into heaven, he's going to come down. So get to work. Like, start moving. And at that point, they look around and they go, oh, you're right. The witness that we've seen Jesus be and who he is, and the people that we've been around, like, it's time for us to start moving. Like, this is our moment. Not to do the defining, but to walk out the Christ life. And so they look and they go, oh man, we're one man down. Judas isn't with us anymore. And so they look and they look at the men who are around them. And they said, so one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to the resurrection. Why? Because they wanted to make it clear that it wasn't going to be what they defined, as the kingdom of God, but it was going to be what Jesus had done during his earthly ministry. So as I said, the experiences, the events, the people, the disciples themselves, they weren't going to be the definers of this culture. Only the king can truly define the kingdom culture. And the way that we see that play out is that when they take two men, and they could have like stacked their resumes against one another and been like, oh yeah, this guy, he beats the other. Like, he is more qualified. He has spent more time with Jesus by at least 30 minutes, and he is definitely more qualified. But that isn't what they do. In verse 24, it says, they prayed and said, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen. You see, even as they go out and pursue the call of God's ministry, they're seeking God. And they cast lots in verse 26. They cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And you might go, that's a great story about how the church was initially established, but what does this have to do with you and me? It has everything to do with you and me. Because, first of all, we are called by God to step into his movement, a movement that he defines, that he initiates. And, you know, a lot of times in church culture, I'm talking to church culture people, we talk a lot about calling, and what they mean is the thing that I prefer to do for God, as opposed to what I feel called to do by God. And do you know that there's really only one calling? There's one calling on all of our lives, and that is to follow the King. To believe as the disciples believed, that Jesus lived a perfect life, died on the cross for you and me, and then resurrected from the grave, defeating death so that we could have a relationship with God, so that we could sit at the marriage banquet feast of the King. Like, if you believe that and are following that, that's the call. Now, the response to that call can look different for everybody. But it all should be boiled down to one thing. Once you decide to be a disciple, the response for everyone is the same but looks different, is to go and then make disciples. Now, how does that play out? I don't know. You all are so gifted in so many different things. But we're all called to be a disciple and to make disciples. We're all called to follow a movement of God that is set out and established by God, defined by God. And here's the thing that I'd love for you to leave with. That we're in a moment right now, and here's where it plays in for me and you, just like it did for Matthias. It's your moment to step into God's movement. Now, that might be an initial step towards God's movement. It might be, you might have said, well, I've been a follower of God forever. Like, did I miss that moment? Like, did that pass me by? Nope. Not at all. Today is your moment to continue to step into God's movement, to follow the calling of God. Like, that's such a relief to me, that I have a King that wants to walk in step with me, that wants to be closer than my skin. Like, he wants to be right there with me. He wants to lead me. But I can't lag behind. And when what lagging behind looks like is, you know, I understand that God might have this definition of who I am as a person, but I can't wrap my head around that. I think I'm going to try and define it my own way. Or, you know, I think what I want to do is this. And I know that God's calling me this way. I know that he's placed this person on my life to pray for and to be a witness to, but I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to run ahead. I think I have a better idea. We're called to be an example of his kingdom, to be different in his kingdom. There are two next steps that I want us to look at. And the first one is very simple. Will you respond to the call that God makes on your life to accept Jesus as king? That's it. It's that simple. Will you respond to the call of God to make Jesus the king of your life? I don't know where anyone is in this room, but that's the first step. And you can't do step two if you haven't done step one. That's usually how it works, right? Like when I try and do, build things for my kids, for Christmas or their birthdays. When Noah was like two, I wasn't going to share this, but it just came to my mind. We had like one of those radio flyer tricycles, and it had one of those steering wheels in the back, that so they don't run off and go into the road. And I had this thing all together, and I must have missed a step. Because when I lifted the thing up, it literally just fell apart. Like, it looked good, but I think I did miss more than one step. It just fell apart. And we just laughed and laughed and laughed. But do you know what's not funny? Is when we try and live like a Christian, but we haven't submitted our life to the King. That's the first step. We've got to start there. If we miss that, everything falls apart. Everything falls apart. The next step is, will you commit to keep in step with God? Remember, not running ahead, not lagging behind, but keeping in step with God by remaining steadfast in prayer. I love that the disciples, the first thing they do as they bring kingdom culture into the world is they pray to God, the Lord who knows the hearts of all men. It says, will you commit to keep in step with God by remaining steadfast in prayer for the one that God has placed in your life? That's what we ask people to do, is just be praying for the one. Be praying for the one that God has put in your life. You know, we, this spring season, had an opportunity to, our kids, our oldest kids, had a chance to participate in the track program at Johnston. And we just were praying for some of the kids that our kids would be interacting with, that they'd, maybe have an opportunity to share their faith. And they didn't have an opportunity to really share their faith, or at least they didn't take any opportunity to share their faith, and that was fine. But after the season, they're in the park, and they saw one of the other coaches. And the coach asked, this is proud dad moment, okay? One of the coaches came and saw both of my kids, and they said, what do you believe? Like, what is it that's different about you? Like, I can't leave my kids that I'm, like, she's like a gym teacher, and she's like, I can't leave my kids without them, like, running in the road or, doing something. Like, what's different about you guys? And then we're sitting in the living room talking about this, and they just shared the gospel. And they didn't do it perfectly. They stumbled over their words, but they were an example. They were available. And I couldn't have asked for any more. We're not looking for perfection. That's not the kingdom culture. What we're looking for are hearts humbled to serve the King. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being our King, for defining this movement, for being willing to go ahead of us so that we could walk into this world not to be conformed by it. We can walk in this world as sojourners but not be crushed by it. God, we can walk in this world knowing that the King is with us, and at the end of the day, we will be able to worship Him in spirit and truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.